Today is, I'm so excited about the doing the pathways, and I had it where I was not teaching any of these classes, but as things do happen, and my friend Brother Mark Johnson was scheduled to be here today, and our other three pathways, Brother Josh Holdem, Brother G.L. King, and Brother Ken James is speaking those classes, and they will be speaking in our 11 a.m. service as well. And this is our circle of accountability that you've heard me talk about a lot. And so today is that Sunday. But I'm excited about this. And as Sister Angie has already spoken, Sister Jessica Moss and Brother Daniel Blevins is going to be joining this pathway. And I promise you, they're prepared and ready to go. And they are excited about the journey. So let us begin today with this pathway. God's definition of love, how to reflect the love of God in all of our relationships. In 1 John chapter 4, verses number 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." The Word of God teaches us that if we know His love, then we know Him. But if we don't have love, we knoweth not God, because God is built, the foundation and principles of God is built on love. And I know in our Pentecostal traditions, when we mention love, we immediately think, oh Lord, they're going way out there, because just love everybody. All you got to do is love God. But that is so true. If you fall in love with God, you'll surrender everything in your life to come and follow Him, or go and follow Him. You see, love as defined by God. Today, in a world that twists, distorts, and redefines love, what we as apostolics have to do is we've got to return the definition of love back to being pure, to being selfless, to being sacrificial, and to live a lifestyle that is pleasing to God. We must return to the definition of true love. The apostolic church, that is us. That is who we are. We stand on the Word of God, and we must reflect His love in every relationship, whether it's in our marriage, our family, our friendships, and this is a big one, even among the people that we know don't love us. We call them enemies, distractions. That's what we call them. But Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse number 35, By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. See? Oh Lord, help me, Jesus. I got just short time here. It didn't say that they're going to know you by how you look. It said it didn't know you by where you was going to be at. It said that they will know that you are His disciple by your love one towards another. You see, the love of God goes deep, because Jesus Christ himself showed love. In John chapter 15, verse number 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." I got any friends here today? Oh yeah. I got several friends here today. Friends like Jesus is willing to lay down their life for you. I know when we say we love one another, we probably do love one another, but we love one another when it's inconvenient. We love one another when it requires us to drive across the city of Kingsport at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and people are leaving our city because they're here working and they're returning back to their homes. Yes, the traffic. Yes, do we love one another in that moment? Jesus showed love by healing the sick, feeding the hungry and showing compassion to the broken. He forgave sinners. He forgave the ones that even crucified him. You stop and think about that. Do we love one another like Jesus loves, that when somebody betrays us or somebody abuses verbally or emotionally or mentally, do we love them still enough that we're willing to forgive and sacrifice? He sacrificed his life, Jesus did, so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. This morning, everything we apostolics do has to be built on the foundation of love. If we have not love, then we have not Christ. We're living within us. We have got to learn to love. We are to truly reflect the love of God. We must love sacrificially, forgive freely, and serve others selflessly. See, the Good Samaritan loved without prejudice. And Luke chapter 10, verse number 30, it talks to us how to show the love of God. He helped a wounded man, even though they were from different ethnic and social backgrounds. That's the love of God. Oh, that's the love of God. When people don't look like us, act like us, respond like us, we still have to have the love of Jesus in our hearts so that we can show the love of God through us. Because if we show the love of God, then we are showing that we are His disciples. Yes, we show that we are His disciples. You see, He risked His own safety to care for someone in need. He gave His own resources to ensure the man's full recovery. We must have the love of God that goes beyond the barrier of race, background, and our differences should never limit our compassion. The love of God has to be that foundation. That I won't say that one again. Our differences should never limit our compassion. Because let's just talk about it for the next just few seconds here, is that we're all human in this place. Or at least I think we are. We're all human here. We all have emotions. We all have opinions. And we all have different personalities. And we all act differently when we are hurt, when somebody does us wrong, when somebody betrays us and we're hurt. We're hurt by that. In those hurts, are we able still to show the love of God in our differences and still show compassion? Now, that's huge. And I know all of us here today, we're children of God. We walk with God. We have a prayer life with God. I believe that everyone in this room has that. But do we have enough foundation in the love of God that when this happens to us, that we're willing to turn the other cheek and show compassion to those in need? Gee, that's huge. And I'm not asking God to put you to the test. But what I am asking God is for me this morning, that says, God, I want to be so pure. I want to be so pure in my genuine love for You, that when I know somebody's talking about me or my children or my family or my extended family, I want to know that I could still show compassion to them, because that's the love of God. That is the love of God. Jesus showed us a good example. This is not in my notes, but He sat at the dinner table with His disciples and followers and knew one would betray Him, one would deny Him, one would sell Him for just a few pieces of your money, a currency. He knew that, but yet He still sat there with them and never let them know that He knew what they were going to do. Oh, that is love. That is love, ladies and gentlemen. That is love. True apostolic followers of Jesus Christ must show the love of God. Joseph, love that forgives and restores. In Genesis chapter 45, verses number 4, it says, "Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, but ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. This is Joseph reflecting the past to his brothers. I know you sold me. I know you betrayed me. But yet I forgive you. I just don't forgive you. But I've made a way so that your life can be preserved. Because God elevated me through that hurt, that betrayal. But it set me up so I could return and show you compassion. Woo, Lord, I'm telling you right now, in this room, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. There are people in this room that you have every right to check it off and say, I'm done. I'm finished. But the love of God says you can't be finished. The love of God says, no, you can't give up on them because you are my disciples. You are my followers. You are my people. And so through that, you and I, we must recognize that God has a plan even in our pain. Woo-hoo, Lord. Oh, that'll make a Baptist shout right there. Or I may say even again, we must recognize that God has a plan even for our pain. And guess what? Woo-hoo, Lord, Lord, Lord. When you know God's plan, you have to refuse to hold a grudge. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, it's a little neat this morning. His brothers betrayed him, but he forgave them. And you know how he showed his forgiveness? By showing compassion to them. I'm not saying you got to call up those that have hurt you and abused you and betrayed you and say, hey, we're going on vacation. Y'all want to jump in the car and go? No, I'm not asking you to do that this morning. But what I am asking you to take notice of is that if you see them at Walmart, you know good and well, you know good and well, you don't need no more hairspray. You know good and well. But you'll go out of your way to go get some Aquanet. You'll go out of your way to buy something you know you don't even want to try to keep from talking to somebody because they've hurt you. I'm telling you, this is being recorded, so I've got to be very careful what I'm saying because others can hear this. But there was a young man that hurt me dearly, hurt my wife, hurt us. Oh, God, he hurt us. Yes, I could talk for it about hours. I could tell you. The police were called. I mean, it was bad. They were calling me. Somebody forged my name to documents. Oh, Lord, I still remember. I still remember like it was yesterday. I was called by the DHS by Missouri, the Capitol and all that. It was going to get ugly. It was bad. God brought me through it. He helped me. But just this past week, Denise and I was in the basement of our home, and she had to come down there and kick me out from upstairs. I'm just kidding. We was down there preparing, doing some decor and all of this kind of stuff, and we're down there, and the phone rings, and when they say, you love your friends and keep your enemies closer, that kind of thing. So I keep my enemies' names in my phone, so when they call, if I'm not feeling Jesus, I just But the phone rang and his name showed up. I didn't have hesitation at all about answering the phone, but the first thing I thought, oh God, something's wrong. Something's wrong. And I answered the phone, and on the other end of the phone was a grown man crying uncontrollably. Crying, weeping. And he said a few things that as soon as I answered the phone, it surprised him that I even answered the phone. It's surprising that I even answered. And he said, I was sitting here and I started reminiscing about the good times that we had and about the things that God did and how our families were joined together and how we used to do things. And he said, he may not answer the phone, but I'm going to call him. I'm going to talk to him. And when I could have hit reject and when I could have been rude and mean because of all the hell that we had to go through, on the other end of the phone, he heard me say, I love you. I'm so proud of you and what God's doing in your life. And then he said, well, me and my wife are thinking about coming that way. You know, so I had to make a choice. I had to make a quick decision right there. But you know what I did? Is I did what Jesus would do. I'd say, come on. Come on, y'all come see us. We would love that. And you know what I said? I said, the people that God has blessed us with to serve with in our church here, they would love to meet you. Now, somebody said, man, have you lost your mind? And yes, for some people, that would be, yeah, you've lost your mind. But see, that's what Jesus would do. That's the way Jesus would react. That is showing that I am a disciple of His. Because yes, years ago in my flesh would have said, no, we're not doing this. I don't want you anywhere near me. I don't want to be close to you. You realize you tried to destroy this church. You tried to pull people away from here. And I could have went through a lot of things. Yes, years ago. But then I had to learn that if I am going to forgive, if I'm going to forgive, there is nothing like showing the love of God more in your life than forgiving somebody. Oh, and this class is going to be great for you. Please come back next week. Next week's speaker is a whole lot better than this one, I promise you. It's going to be great. We're going to have a great time. But listen to what Joseph did. I can relate to this. I can relate to this. That in the moment that I could have said, you know what you did to me? Do you know how you embarrassed us? Do you know what you put my family through? Do you know the talk of this city? No, what I did was I showed the love of God. Because the pain that I felt, oh my God, the pain that I felt and went through, you know what it was doing? Is it was preparing Denise and I that we could stand in front of you and say, we've been hurt, we've been tested, we've been tried, we've been betrayed, we've been talked about, abused, mistreated. We can keep going. But the love of God not only shows through us, but the love of God will set you free from holding grudges against those that have wronged you. Oh, yeah, yes. Joseph said, I am willing to restore this family instead of holding a grudge. He could have said, you see those guys out there? They lied on me. They manipulated my daddy and told him that I was dead. Then they sold me because they didn't have the guts to kill me, but they sold me. And then they put me in jail and a pit and all this kind of stuff. And he said, I was even doing the right thing. I was being ethical when a lady tried to come home to me and I denied it. I ran for my life and look where it got me. But it was all worth it. It was all worth it. Because he refused to hold a grudge. Love, the love of God means forgiving even when it is hard. If Joseph can forgive his brothers who sold him into slavery, then what makes us think that we can't forgive those that have wronged us? When you love God, God is love, and I promise you, God will help you forgive. I said, my God will help you forgive those that have wronged you. In Ruth chapter 1, verse number 16, whether thou goest, I will go. This is Ruth. And whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Ruth here is showing the love of God to stay committed to her commitments in life. She chose to stay with Naomi even when it meant hardship. She left her homeland to care for someone who had nothing to give her in return. Nothing. See, that's the love of God right there. When you can love somebody that you know you're not going to get nothing back from them. That's the heart of a giver right there. A true giver gives without expecting nothing in return. Oh, we've made it so hard. You know, we take somebody a Christmas gift and they'll say, I can't accept that because I have nothing to give you in return. Come on. That's I want the love of God. I want to give. I want to give. I want to give. I want to give. I want the gift of giving. I want the heart of giving. I want the love of Jesus in my heart. So I will give. She left. She left. Ruth trusted God's plan. She showed two things in this plan. Three things, really. The love of God, faithfulness, and kindness. True love is faithful. True love is loyal. And true love is committed. Again, whether in our marriage, our family, our friendships, we are called to be loyal. We are called to be loyal. Pastor, you just don't understand. They've cut me. They've cut me. They've hurt me so bad. The love of God says, Forgiveness is the key. Jonathan in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses number 3 and 4. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. You see, Jonathan showed the love of God. He helped David, even though he could have been jealous of him. He even risked his life to protect David from King Saul. He protected him. You see, sometimes we've got to put our own agendas at risk, our own schedules at risk, our own ideas at risk to show the love of God into other areas in the kingdom of God. You see, Jonathan chose friendship over personal ambition, knowing David all along was chosen to be king. You know, let me talk about this. We got some ministers in the room. We got leaders in the room today. When God's call is on your life, what the enemy would love to do is to divide and put a wedge into your heart, because you may not always be the one driving. You may not always be in the driver's seat, but God may have placed you in the passenger seat to give the directions. To let, hey, you know, there's a Dairy Queen coming up, and I know the guy driving would love to stop, so I'm going to tell him. Now, that was a Holy Ghost right there. Y'all received that. It's being a leader is not always about being in the driver's seat. It's about being the man or the lady in the second chair, they call it. It's about helping. It's about uplifting. Jonathan could have easily overcome the will of God and betrayed and hurt. But Jonathan said this, I know David is chosen to be king. So true love, what does true love do? Oh Lord, true love rejoices when other people are successful. Oh my, oh my. I said true love rejoices when other people are successful. Now, I have been a part of rejoicing, but I've also been a part of the attack. Most of the time in leadership, when you're in leadership and you're being successful, people will attack you because there is a spirit of jealousy. Man, I wish they could do that. But I'm telling you, y'all have heard me say this, and some of you maybe agree to disagree. But I promise you, when you get the love of God, you will rejoice when somebody else is successful. I know what I can do and what I can't do. And I'll be honest with you. One of my strong points is eating ice cream. I know that. I know without a shadow of a doubt that God's given me that gift. But what I'm doing here today is not my strong point. It is a weakness of mine in ministry. But we have people in this room and in this church that can stand here. You're going to hear from them in the next few weeks. You're going to hear from these precious people. But I rejoice in their success. And I say, God, I may not be the best. I may not have the greatest ability at that one thing. But I'm not going to put other people down because I don't do that as good as I would like. You know, I'm not going to put them down because belittle them. Well, bless God, they make this mistake and they make that mistake and they mispronounce this and they mispronounce that. Just because I know I do all of that, I'm not going to belittle them just because it's a shortcoming of mine. I'm going to rejoice. The love of God rejoices in others' success and seeks their best interest over our own. Yes, today. I could have easily said, no, I'd rather you not do that. I'd rather you not be there. I'd rather you not go there. But we've got several ministers that the people call, and they're teaching, they're preaching, they're doing things today. They're not here. But why would I want to hold somebody else back from being successful? It's the love of God that says they will know you, that you are my disciples by showing the love of God. And then I will quickly close with this. Stephen here is being stoned to death. And in Acts chapter 7, verse number 60, it says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He's losing his life. This is about to be over. And Stephen says, oh Lord, please, please, don't lay this sin at their door. Please, oh God, don't lay this sin against them. Please, oh God, I'm asking you, Lord, to forgive them. Stephen, he preached the truth boldly, even when it cost him his life. He forgave those who were stoning him, just like Jesus did when he was on the cross. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. He prayed for his enemies, even as they were killing him. The early church, and I close with this, the early church, that's us. No, the early church, I'm sorry. The early church, the book of Acts, it says this, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and so, Lord have mercy, this is in your Bible. This is in your Bible. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Isn't that amazing? God said, I want you to come follow me. I want you to set everything you've got, divide it with everybody, and you just follow after Christ. This is what the early church did. They unified. They went, sold their possessions. They shared everything they had. They prayed. They worshiped together. They built a strong spiritual community. And if this apostolic church is going to see those kinds of results, we must become unified in kingdom principles and kingdom purpose. So the pathway that God has us on is that it's God's love and it's not our self-seeking. It's sacrificial. It's helping others to find the true love of Jesus Christ. I am so thankful. I am so thankful today that on that revival service, when that young, pregnant, teenage lady walked in the back door of North 51 Church of Jesus Christ, and those precious people in that church in 1975 wrapped their loving arms around my mother. I'm so thankful that there were some disciples of Jesus Christ in that church. Because of their love and because of their commitment and because of their unwavering, unconditional love, I get to stand before you today and say, because God loved her and those people loved her, I'm living proof the love of God lives on in our lives. And if God can do that for me, God wants to do it in your life and do it for your family. So I say this, why don't we just all just fall in love with Jesus Christ? Why don't we all just fall in love with Him and show compassion and get rid of the grudges, the past, and say, God, I'm giving it a brand new start today. I'm going after you, and I'm going to fall deep in love with you today. Oh, could we just lift our hands into the Lord and praise Him? Thank Him, Lord, I love you. I praise you, oh, holy God. Oh, I love you. I thank you for your love. God, I thank you for the pathway that you have put us on. God, because today, God, we are showing the love in all relationships. Those that help us, those that elevate us, those that hurt us, those that betray us. God, I'm asking you, Lord, to raise this apostolic people up today. Lord, that we will sit in heavenly places with you. And the love of God will flow in our life and through us. Give us a heart of compassion. Give us a heart of forgiveness. Give us a heart, God, that says, oh, I'm going to fall in love with you more and more, Jesus, so I can help others along the way. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord. Oh, no. Hallelujah. I love Him. Don't you love Him? Oh, I tell you what, it'll make you love people. It'll make you love all kinds of people. Matter of fact, it'll make you love everybody. Everybody. Amen. For the next few moments here, if you caught a hold of something that really, really ministered into your spirit, over the last, I've been talking for about 28 minutes or so. If something ministered to you in this class today that sticks out to you, do you mind sharing that? Just raise your hands. And before we do this, we're only going to discuss and comment on the things that was talked about here in this class today, okay? I know all of you are seasoned saints, most of you, but we can't get off in the weeds because we're limited on time. Limited on time. Somebody, Sister Angie.
Two thoughts. One was when you're talking about Jesus being at the table with the disciples, and you talked about how he had said, you know, that even though he knew Judas was going to betray him, that Peter was going to deny him later, And that's, I think, a bigger thought to me was the other disciples didn't even know. So, yes, he knew that about Judas, but the other disciples weren't even aware. So it was like, there's one thing about not sharing your garbage with that person, but if you're talking about that person away from, like if I had,
you know,
if I had an issue with you, which I don't, if I had an issue with you, and I don't let it be known to you, if I'm telling Sister Peck and this kid under my skin, if I'm doing that, it still knows. So
right.
Not only did Judas not know, like, he knew that about Judas, but none of the other disciples were even aware.
Right.
There was something in contention. They had to ask amongst themselves, is it me? It's like, they mm-hmm. literally had no clue
yes.
who that person was.
Woo!
That was so profound to me.
Mm. Boom. That's some good stuff right there. Well, thank you for sharing, Sister Angie. Go ahead.
The second thing I have is, if you want to work on this, if this is something that you feel is a struggle for you, or you want to grow in this area, I highly encourage you to go to Celebrate Recovery. Celebrate Recovery is all about overcoming things like this, building healthy relationships, healing from hurts, and being able to have that love for Christ and for people around you that you may have differences with. So it's about healing from past things. So there's several of us in this class have gone through it. But you can also talk to Pastor, to Brother Branham. He's not here today.
No.
Brother Branham, so please ask myself. Several of us have gone through this, but if you want to work in this area, I highly encourage Celebrate Recovery. Will change your life.
Yes. Thank you for that input. It sure will. Somebody else. We've got a few minutes here. Come on. Thank you, Brother Josh.
We looked at Josh. Saul wanted to kill, right? Saul was a killer. Amen. So definitely, I can imagine Saul putting pressure on Jonathan. Jonathan, even though there was pressure around him, chose to love instead.
Yes. Woo! I love this. Woo! Powerful. Thank you. Someone else? I know it's on the tip of your tongue. Just go ahead and say it. It's all right. Let's talk about it. Brother Bellamy?
It's hit me really strong. I don't love it. God's not going to love me.
Ooh, yes. Yes.
The old song says, if you don't love your neighbor, then you can't love God.
That's right. And that's Bible. That's Bible. Yes. Oh, I thought Sister Tabitha had her hand raised. Woo! Not a good time to scratch your head, girl. Not a good time to scratch your head. Yes. Oh, someone else. It's okay. Don't be afraid to speak. Just make a comment or you go ahead.
I think it's like our children really mimic what we do. And I feel a heavy responsibility to make sure that I do follow what love is described in the Bible, so she can have a good representation of what that is.
Yes.
They can in turn love their family or their friends. And in hard times when they might be hurt.
Yeah.
Fill the train.
Yes. I love it. Thank you for sharing. Someone else. Oh, yeah.
Not always does our children see that, but in response, we show that love to someone. I promise you that person will walk away. They may not go and tell someone else, but they will tell themselves. He took the time.
Yeah.
He made the effort.
Right.
To come and speak to me.
Yes.
That it happened personally in my life, but to where I knew that the relationship was what it should have been.
Right.
I was trying to nurture that relationship.
Yeah.
Where I could make a way or make an effort to
yes.
go and do something to show that I was willing to do.
Yes.
If that person responded in a way that I would have probably not thought they would have responded.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Because I was willing to make that step.
Right.
It made a difference in what happens.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Thank you for sharing, Brother Johnson. Thank you for sharing. Someone else? Someone else? Go ahead, Sister Lisa.
And so yesterday when we were visiting with Taylor, there's a lady that works at Greystone that goes to a church in Johnson City. And I asked her because she was dressed like me. And So I asked her where she went to church.
Yeah.
And upon talking with her, we have to have the heart about us that even in the midst of whatever we may be dealing with, is that we acknowledge or take the time to look around us that the needs that are in others.
Mm-hmm.
God calls us to edify one another, to build one another up, and that is showing love.
But
even in the midst of what you may be going through, you have to set yourself aside in those moments
mm-hmm.
and look at the needs of others.
Yes.
And offer a word of encouragement
to the Lord. Yes. Yes. Thank you for sharing. That is so true. Is that, you know, no matter how we feel, we still have to worship, love, give. Oh, that's great, great.
Yes.
What Sister Lisa said reminded me of a time, and I think you mentioned this in your talk a little bit about being distracted and not being able to.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In a time where we almost lost Riley when he was 7 years old, and we were in the hospital for 2.5 weeks. Our church family knew about it, but very few people.
This is Facebook was
just coming online, so not a lot of people. It was 2009. And a couple of people knew about it, but everyone was like, oh, well, I've been to, like, we just didn't have a lot of visitors. Yeah. Here we are, like, in that. It was the hardest time of our life, and we didn't have anybody come to help or talk to us. The camera was, like, 2 at the time. Anyway, we ended up having one family that would go mow our grass. We had, and then also took care of Cameron. She hung out there for a long time with them. And a couple of people brought meals and stuff. Chris and I were back and forth from the hospital. We stayed on site as much as we could. But I was just like looking around, and this lady who
was
Cameron at the time, she said, we have such a spirit of distraction. She's like, it's not that there is anything wrong with our lives and what we're doing, but that we can't slow down. We feel like we can't slow down and look at when our brothers and sisters are hurting.
Oh, God.
Our life.
Yeah.
Say, what can I do? Not even say, what can I do to help you? And just go do something for them. Just to be present. Just to show up.
In whatever
capacity you
can. Yeah.
They don't want to hear, well, oh, I need this. I need that. People are too proud to ask. Just do something. Bring them groceries. Bring them a gift card to McDonald's. Do something.
Right.
I am thinking about you. You're my brother. You're my sister.
Yes. Yes.
It's hard for us to, like I'm going to get the soccer practice. I'm going to do this. We get caught up in our daily lives. It's hard to pause and think about our brothers and sisters.
Sure.
Yes. 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 My God. Woo, this is good. It's good stuff. Really good stuff. All right, we'll take one more. We'll take one more, then we'll take an offer. Brother Blevins.
I think everything you were saying is so true. And then I'm the opportunity.
Yeah.
When you look at our neighbors.
Yeah.
We love our neighbors. We need to love those people that are different than us. And that's, if we're going to win them, we've got to love them.
That's right.
They might not look like us. They may not act like us. We have to love those people. If we ever expect to see them come to God.
Right.
Never step foot in this church.
Yeah.
We've got to build that relationship. We've got to love those different than us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We got to love people. Tell you, there is no greater reward than loving people. And I know I could carry on sometimes probably too much, you know, at restaurants and while we're in the line getting ready to get on a roller coaster or do something, just strike up a conversation with somebody. But that little conversation go so far with people, so far. You know, I've got just a few minutes and we'll be dismissed. There's a young man, I don't know if he's here today. His name is Ivan. Ivan came to this church a couple of weeks ago. And last Sunday here in this room at our welcome home dinner, I sat down and I talked with Ivan. I said, Ivan, how did you hear about our church? You know, what pulled you here? And he said, I was driving by this building on my way to work. And he said, I looked up and I saw the banner on that church that said purpose. He said, something spoke to me about finding my purpose
And I could find that purpose right there. Isn't that amazing how God just uses, you know, we've said it so much right now, it's like, it's just common knowledge to us now. Purpose. Oh, there they go again. Purpose. He drove by, he saw that sign, and he turned around and came into this church. He ended up at a welcome home dinner, and we had lunch with him just a week ago. This past Thursday, he attends Brother Paul's Bible study, and they start teaching the Bible. They wasn't bucking and snorting and doing the Jesus shuffle and carrying on. He was just teaching the Word. And Brother Evan said, you could feel the Holy Ghost just move in. And when he did, Ivan lifted up his hands and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance right there in that Bible study. Now, the love of God is the foundation that is built on. If he would have walked in this building and nobody talked to him, nobody shared conversation with him, nobody had lunch with him, we want people to feel the love of Jesus, and this is how we do it. But the love of Jesus, God sent him here, and the love of Jesus is now guiding him through each and every one of us. I'm telling you, you are the hands, the feet, the mouthpiece of God walking on this earth. Woo! I'm telling you right now, next March the 15th, that when it is Saturday, March the 15th, we're going to be doing lunch bags. They're going to be putting lunches in those bags. They're going to be feeding people with those bags. Then we're going to give away groceries, I believe. And then we're going to go down to the kitchen, and we're going to serve lunch down there. I know we're busy as all get out. We are busy, busy, busy. But if you want to show the love of God, how did the people show the love of God that we talked about today? By showing compassion. Compassion, I'm telling you. Oh, the Lord's good. Thank you for being here today. Sister Jessica Moss is next week. Is that correct? Sister Jessica Moss is going to be teaching next week. I want you to be here. Come back expecting something great and tell somebody about this class. Share it on social media. Talk about it with your church family. Look for the recording on Realm. It'll be on, others will be there sharing their recordings. It's going to be a great time. I love you. God bless you. If you don't have your shouting shoes, I got several extra pair in the office. I can get you. And we'll talk to you here in just a minute.